cover a Rolling Stone. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to the Morro Bay Business Forum candidates event today. Thank you all for being here. I want to give a warm welcome to the Embarcadero Grill for hosting us today. Excellent. And we're also blessed to have AGP here filming this so the folks back home can watch it. Yes. AGP, thank you. We're going to start the program today. The first 45 minutes are going to be dedicated to the mayor's candidates, and we'll discuss the process here in a minute. Please, the word for today is respect. Show respect for each other. Show respect for the candidates. These people put out a lot of time and commitment to serve and to even run for the position. So we want to thank you for all being here also. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the lady with the paddles, Kathy Novak.
Okay, your opening statements are going to be 2 minutes. The other candidates would like to offer any comments after
this morning. I believe these are important opportunities for our voters to gain valuable insights into candidates. As a 20-year resident, former planning commissioner, and member of the State Parks Trails Committee, I care deeply about Morro Bay. My term on the commission and the State Parks Trails Committee has given me valuable experience and accomplishments that will serve me well as your mayor. I've met with and talked to many of you, many of the residents who share my passion for Morro Bay, and I believe we can achieve community vitality through harnessing this passion. I bring a sincere respect for the public process, a sense of fairness and compassion that allows me to appreciate and hear diverse opinions, and the ability to instill a focused direction to succeed. I view our community as a whole, one with businesses, talented residents in our neighborhoods, safe neighborhoods, and a healthy environment. As your mayor, I will be committed to improving the vitality of the community as a whole through my vision and values.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Yakich?
Hi, my name is Joe Yukon.
My name is... Can you hear me? Let me move it up. My name is Joe Yukich, and you pronounce that Yukich like you catch a football. You catch a public sector employee with his hands in the till taking money from us, the taxpayer. In less than 1 month in 1776, a young man at 33 years old by the name of Thomas Jefferson wrote a very profound document. It's called the Declaration of Independence. And if you look around the world at that time, it was a much different place for Mr. Jefferson. There was no democracy as we know it today. Most of the world was ruled by despots, kings, emperors. And that document has far-reaching impact today. It creates free men and women around the world, even to this day. And the basic tenet of that was American exceptionalism. And that's what I'm about. It's about American exceptionalism. And what I see in Morro Bay and what I see with this council under the leadership of Mayor Yates, sorry to tell you this, but I see American mediocrity. So you have to ask yourself a question. Are you better off today than you were 2 years ago? I don't think that's a fact, not for me at least. You know, our infrastructure is falling apart. Our police officers are some of the most underpaid in the county. We have administrative staff that makes $4.5 million a year in a city of 10,000. I don't know how healthy our tourism is, but our sister cities like Pismo are doing a lot better. So we have to really work hard and strive harder. As part of that exceptionalism, I'm going to outline three things. I'm not going to talk to you in government speak like I hear at every city council meeting. I'm going to fix our roads. That's the first thing. That's the first and foremost thing. I don't know about you, but this is Jamaica on the north side of me. Why do I have to stop? Oh. Well,
Hi, I'm Bill Yates, and I'm your mayor, and I love being your mayor. I've lived here for 25 years. I've got five kids. I've raised four of them were raised here. My oldest didn't come down until high school. I love this town dearly. This race seems to be shaping up a pro-business versus pro-citizen, and to me that is the silliest thing because I'm certainly pro-citizen. I'm painted with this brush of anti-citizen pro-business, but being pro-business is about, to me, being pro-citizen. 40% of our general fund budget comes from tourism. So that means if you have a heart attack, and or your loved one does, and the fire department shows up at your house, and the police department, 40% of those people walking in the door, the trucks outside, is paid for by our tourists. So I support our tourists in order to support our town. Half my time is gone already. I work at being your mayor every single day. I love being your mayor. I think you have four great candidates here. So you've got a good choice. Same with council. You've got a good choice of people. And if you like the way I operate, you all watch me every other week on TV. If you think I'm doing a good job, then I ask for your vote. Thanks a lot.
Good morning. My name is Carla Borchard, for those of you who don't know me, and I am a 33-year resident of the city of Morro Bay. I have a business here in town that in December will be 25 years. It's taken a lot of hard work, but I appreciate the opportunities that have been provided.
So we don't have the same person getting hit first all the time. So we'll start with Mr. Yukich on this one. We'll jump right in. What is your position on the wastewater treatment plant location where it is currently approved by the council and JPA? And if the California Coastal Commission refuses a permit for it in the existing location, would you consider litigation against the commission as the next step?
Well, first of all, I'd like to highlight, I have a real question for the mayor here. It was reported in the New Times, and I'd like to get it.
I'll interrupt you right now. Yeah. This is your time to say the answer.
Well, I'm going to answer your question. Okay. Let me answer the question. Okay. I pay for this microphone. I pay a lot of tax here, so let me speak.
Okay.
I just want to know, they had the JPA meeting, and the mayor wasn't there. It's according to the New Times. I just want to find out. When we're spending $155,000 on a consultant that really, I don't know, she's got a mixed track record. I want to know why he wasn't there to vote on this $155,000. That's my first question that was going to go to this lobbyist. I need that answered. You're spending my money. Why aren't you there?
Did you want to answer this question?
I think I'm answering it pretty well. I mean,
All right, I'll repeat the question. What's your position on the wastewater treatment plant location currently approved by the council and JPA? And do you consider suing the Coastal Commission if they don't give us a permit there?
The answer is if our government can get itself together, you have to explore those facts. But first I need to know if a guy's going to vote on a lobbyist issue for $155,000. You got to start where you start, all right?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Yates?
I am supportive of keeping the wastewater treatment plant where it is because it's always been there. In order to move it, it's going to double the cost, and the message that I receive from you, from my fellow citizens, almost every day, but if that's a stretch, I'll say three times a week, is keep my sewer bill as low as you can. And I know that if we're going to move it, it's going to at least double the cost, probably more, because we would start the clock over, so now we're 15 years out. 15 years... Even if we keep it the same place, it's going to double the cost. So we move it to double the cost, and then we wait another 15 years, and we're into triple plus. So I am for keeping it as affordable as we can, and in my estimation, that means leaving it where it is. So I am supportive of keeping it there. As far as litigation, that's the first time that's been thrown at me. Let's see what the Coastal Commission says first. We've answered all the questions, and I've got a stop sign.
Okay. Ms. Borchard?
Thank you. I would agree. I have been a part of the process the last 3.5 years of supporting the wastewater treatment plant at its current proposed site. The council and sanitation district have spent considerable amount of time analyzing and evaluating the current site versus alternative sites. And for me, I believe that it is the most fiscally responsible for our ratepayers in both communities, and am going to continue to support it at that site.
Okay, Mr. Irons?
Could you repeat the question one more time, please?
What's your position on the wastewater treatment plant location where it currently is approved by the council and JPA? And if the Coastal Commission refuses to issue a permit for it there, would you consider litigation against them?
I'll ask the last part of that question as far as would we pursue litigation against the Coastal Commission. As mayor, of course, recognize that this comes from the JPA. My view would be I would not pursue litigation against the Coastal Commission. So going back to the first part of the question, as far as the wastewater treatment plant, as a planning commissioner that ruled on the environmental impact report for the wastewater treatment plant, I was one of four votes that denied the environmental impact report study. In my view, and actually my colleagues on the Planning Commission, we agreed that there was not a proper alternative analysis performed for that wastewater treatment plant. And with the conversations I've had with many of you, and especially during this campaign, meeting so many more people, I've had an outpouring support for actually an alternative site for the wastewater treatment plant. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, and we'll start with Mr. Yates on this one. In what ways do you feel the city government can be more business friendly?
I think the primary thing we can do is to continue our efforts, and you know, I've been certainly trying the last year, and I think that the previous mayor and others have tried, and maybe we've made some improvements, but we're not there yet, and that is to streamline and make friendlier our planning department, our planning processes, our business license processes.
Meet the needs of the citizens. I think it's an ongoing process, and I see that with the planning, it's always controversial in there. It will probably always be controversial. Unfortunately, a lot of it is politically driven, so it changes every few years, and it makes it difficult to maneuver through because of that. So I look forward to efforts to continue improving that process so that when you walk in, it's not what you can't do, but what you can do.
Okay, Mr. Irons.
Thank you. First, I'd like to clarify a position on my part and the whole concept of being business friendly. I'm 100% supportive of our businesses in Morro Bay, and why wouldn't we be? I'm supportive of the success of our entire community. Having said that, the business friendly question has been around for many years, and I'm surprised still that we haven't improved that process. It's not a matter of addressing things at the dais, at the council level. This process should have been addressed and should have been addressed years ago. And yes, we did need to improve it. And that's one thing that's on my radar screen to improve as mayor.
Okay, Mr. Yukich?
Well, I actually suffered from this when I opened my restaurant. My restaurant's about 1,800 square feet, about the size of an average Taco Bell fast food restaurant. It took me 2 years to open it. Jumping hurdles. It was one of the most difficult processes I've ever had. Don Double D was my architect, and he commented to me that you know, they built the MGM Grand, the extension wing, 600 rooms, and they finished it a month ahead of me, and we pulled our permits at the same time. So that says a lot. And I agree with Mr. Yates on this. It's a process that we have to streamline the planning. We have to be more business friendly. Our mayor has to be an ambassador and go out and reach out to new businesses. Look at this place. Look around you. What tech company wouldn't want to come here and bring 35, 40 employees and add to our tax base? Thank you.
All right. Next question. What are your thoughts on why Morro Bay is lagging behind the rest of the county in economic growth, and do you have ideas for a solution? Another question that I'm going to kind of put in with this one, why do you think Morro Bay's occupancy rate lags behind other cities in the county? So is the economy in general and occupancy rate as well? And we'll start with Mr. Yates this time. No, we started with you last time. Ms. Borchard.
I think I got lost in the question on the way. Basically, it encompasses all of our challenges in our economic vitality here. We are a destination point. We don't have the luxury of being on 101 where they just can pull off and be in Pismo. We're always seeming to be a step or two behind some of their opportunities. We have a different set of resources here to offer, and I think that people are just discovering us. We've been a little slow to get our name out there, but we've been limited through the years on the monies that we've had available to promote our community and trying to find our niche, and I think that it's been a natural process to use what we have here, our clean living, our stand-up paddleboarding, our boating, fishing, those things. And I think that we've been behind just because we don't have that luxury that we're competing in this county against other areas that are in an easier accessible area. The entire Highway 1 business has suffered.
Okay. Mr. Irons.
Red light.
Mr. Irons.
Thank you. As an owner of a vacation rental, I participated in the early stages of the T-Bid, and I think the T-Bid really has addressed wholeheartedly their interest in improving marketing Morro Bay as a tourist destination. Having said that, I believe economic development is the future. That is an element that we cannot forget about, and we need to connect that as part of our tourism. There's other elements into our community that we can work to develop on, but the tourism marketing and our economic development, I think, is crucial.
Mr. Yukich?
There was a recent article in the Bay News, a letter to the editor, and it was a woman that had her mother was up here and was suffering from cancer. She had to check into our hotels. It was just deplorable what she wrote, and I think really, to make our tourism economy better, we have to grow this organically. You know, I'm a businessman. I set aside a marketing and promotion budget for my business. If I check into a hotel here and it's dirty, I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to tell my friends and family to come back. If the food, my experience is bad there, I'm not coming back, and I'm not going to tell those people to come back. So we have to grow organically. We have to improve our services and our quality here. That's first and foremost. And that's what
the box do something different. You know, Sunset Magazine's great, but we've been doing Sunset Magazine for a decade now, and we're getting the same results. Thank you for the stop sign.
Okay. Next question. We need more business in Morro Bay. What do you plan on doing specifically to make that happen? Mr. Irons.
Is that for me?
Yes.
Thank you. I think I echoed that a minute ago. I'm excited about the opportunity of business of economic development. There's many concepts to economic development, and every city has their own personality and issues and requirements. Morro Bay can develop an economic development plan that's tailored just for us. Economic development, it's about supporting the existing businesses and attracting new businesses. That's what a novel concept. But we have to invest in that. It's not something that we can look at for 1 year. We have to invest in at least a 5-year program to get that going and actually make the investment as actually part of the concept. We have a T-Bid that is promoting tourism. Economic development should be part of our business, and we should be benefiting from that.
Okay, Mr. Yukich.
I would agree with Mr. Irons to some extent about economic development, but again, I think that rests with the business owner, first and foremost. I don't think it's the job of government to subsidize businesses. I think they can subsidize the tourism and promote, but I think overall businesses have to step up and spend their money. When you go into business, you have to understand you have marketing and promotion budgets, and you have to improve the quality of your service. That's first and foremost. I said it earlier. Economic development is great, but you got to get all the parties to play along and to create better services, better value, and that's how you defeat. I use the word defeat because it's very competitive, the tourism dollar. That's how you take on and defeat other cities and bring people here. Again, just look out your window. We'll figure it out. Down the road, we'll figure it out.
Mary Yates?
I think it comes back to the planning department, the planning processes, the business license processes. It's hard to go out and say, come to Morro Bay and open a business, and then have them hit the brick wall at the planning department. I stand totally behind the economic development efforts that are happening. I think it's their job. It's been inferred that it's my job to go out and bring new businesses. I think it's the chamber's job, and it's the other's job, and it's my job to be there to support, to try and help them through the processes and to make it easy for a business to come here. So, again, it comes back to being a welcoming city, which we're still not. And I'm as frustrated as everybody else, and you should hold us responsible for that. How come? How come, Yates, and you've been doing this since 1992, that it's still messed up? I don't blame you for that.
I think that the opportunities we've had over the last 2.5, coming up on 3 years, to work with the newly formed TBID has provided revenue streams that we never had before. They're putting in over $500,000 into promotional efforts to work on bringing businesses. They're bringing tourists, and the tourists will bring other businesses who see us as a successful community. And it is a slow process, but we have been doing this for the past 3 years now, and we're seeing gradual growth. And yes, it goes back to the last question. It's not to the same level of other communities, but we are seeing it. The city council has worked with the chamber to move towards a business development program, something that we haven't had before, and work on recruitment and retention. And these are all things that I think will help us achieve some of these goals over the next year.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left, so I've got a couple of individual questions for you, so I'm going to ask those. Mr. Jukic, how would you have handled the sign ordinance differently?
you have to look at it logically. I mean, and I agree with Mr. Yates that when you have sandwich boards up and down the Embarcadero where people can't walk because the space is limited there anyway, you know, you use that logic there because it presents a danger. But when you come after me in North Morro Bay because I hang a sake sign 25 feet back and harass me to no end while you leave McDonald's, Rite Aid, Albertsons alone and let them fly anything they want, well, you know, that's selective enforcement. I don't want to see selective enforcement. That's how I would have handled it differently. Favored nations, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Okay, Mr. Irons, do you think the residents of Morro Bay are being informed adequately about city activities, issues, and
benefit from the change, as well as the property tax values that will be increased? We adjusted the standards back to what is allowable at a state level and is allowable in the city if you had gone before the Planning Commission. Part of the purpose of lifting that restriction was to, again, streamline the process that we all are so challenged to get through. Prior to changing it back to 1,200 square feet, if you wanted to build 950 square feet, you had to go in and file for permits, go before the Planning Commission, 2-3 months down the road. That is not streamlining the process. It is putting more hurdles and more expenses in front of property owners who are looking to build a secondary unit. It is all restricted by the setbacks and the size of the lots, so all those things still fall into place, but it allows people to capitalize on their investment now. And I would just want to respond to Mr. Irons' comment on the goal setting. This workshop was for the council members.
Okay. And Mr. Yates, what does transparency mean to you, and how will you promulgate the concept?
Transparency is you... that everybody in town has the right to know everything that goes on within the city government. And you do. We don't keep secrets here. We're not like, I won't mention any names, say another city in the county that tends to keep secrets. We try to keep everything out in the open. We respond to requests almost on a daily basis. If you want to see a copy of a letter, if anything, financial, of course. We're about as transparent as you can get here. And as far as me and my fellow council members, you can pick up the phone and ask. I mean, I get 5, 6, 7 calls every single day, and half of them are questions. Ask a question. If I don't have the answer, or if Carla doesn't have the answer, we'll find out, and we'll get back to you. So I think we're about as transparent a city as you can get, and I'm proud of it.
All right, we've got time for one more question. Now I'm trying to remember, who do I start with? I think with Mr. Jukic this time. Did I forget? Okay. What's the status of the Morro Bay fishery, and what can be done to improve it, and would you be for or against Morro Bay becoming part of the National Marine Sanctuary?
I'm going to vehemently tell you this. I'm opposed to it. And I'll tell you what, I went to a meeting that Bill Monnig came to, who probably will be our next state senator. It took place here. And I think these guys have so many restrictions on them. We got to help our fishermen. I think that's really important. When I looked in that room, most of these guys were old guys like me. There are no youngsters coming up. And I asked them, why? They said, it's too restrictive. I've got to have so many monitors. It's one of the areas that I really, really, I have a concern for the environment. It's important, but you can't beat these poor guys to death. They have to earn a living. You know, California is so overregulated at this point. You know, they said to me quite simply that they have boundaries that they have to live by. Why add more to them? Why crush them? Just let's kill another business. No, I don't think so.
Okay, there he is.
The fishermen here are the most resilient group of guys, boy, I've ever seen. They have bounced back. In the last 4 years, they've almost doubled their landings every year. It was over $7 million last year, mostly in black cod. For a group that has been squeezed and choked and almost put out of business, they've done an amazing job. We can't seem to get beyond the federal and especially the federal regulations and the closures. Here we're going to have a salmon season starting May 1st. It's the first one in, I think, 4 years. We'll be getting salmon over our docks if there's any salmon here. So the city is totally 100% commercial fishermen supportive here. That should be obvious to everybody as far as, excuse me, for speeding up marine, the MLPA. We're all against that. It's going to restrict more fishing, and the fishermen are unitedly against it, and we are unitedly against that and for the fishermen. So, no.
Thank you for the question. And I would echo Mary Yates' comments that the commercial fishing industry is who we are. It's our heritage. It's part of what identifies us, the tourism that comes into our community. They come down and watch them unload the slimy eels and all those things, and that's huge. It is who we are for over 100 years. They're bringing in a higher revenue with a smaller catch. They're fishing more sustainably. They're working within the parameters of some very strict regulations, mandates, closures, and to expand the sanctuary here would put a chokehold on them to where they wouldn't. There would be not much left for them to fish locally. They would be forced out of the area. And we've had this on the table just recently with the expansion of that and also with the PG&E seismic studies and the closures. So we have to work hard to support our fishing community and keep them viable.
Mr. Irons?
Thank you.
Would prefer to find our common values and focus on those and the things that are less divisive. I'm available at any time to talk to you on any of the issues. I am going to be here for the next 30 years. I'm not going anywhere. This is my home. This is your home. My children are here. My grandchildren will be here. And I hope to still be in business here then. So any questions, any time, please feel free to contact me.
Okay. Mr. Irons?
Well, I'd like to express my thanks once again for having this forum. It's been great to hear from the candidates and all the questions from the audience. In closing, I'd like to leave you with this. As your mayor, I will bring vision, values, and vitality. My visions include a sustainable budget, an updated general plan, a long-range strategy for economic development that supports our existing businesses and attracts new businesses, increasing our market share of our tourism economy, a healthy growing fishing economy industry, funding for our infrastructure improvements and maintenance, such as sidewalks and streets, harbor and utilities, and a new wastewater treatment plant. My values, community, respect, and transparency, will ensure that I continue to reach out to you and understand your concerns as part of our community decision-making. Together, we can achieve community vitality, vibrant businesses, safe neighborhoods, and a healthy environment. I look forward to serving you as your mayor, and I ask for your vote.
Okay, Mr. Ekich.
Can I borrow that? I pretty much just echo what he said. But I'd like to add one thing in closing. I mean, this city for decades has been embroiled in the supposed two factions that exist here, the pro-business faction and the progressive faction, which has an environmental slant. On the one side, the progressive movement, they like to complain a lot, and they do, and sometimes they don't want to find a solution. On the other side, and I'm not making a lot of friends here, on the other side, you have the pro-business side, which is pro-business as long as the boundaries are the Embarcadero. What I'd like to see is we're going to have to come together. I mean, we're going to have to come together as a community. You know, the hallmark of the Ronald Reagan presidency was the fact that he was a conservative Western Republican. He was able to reach across an aisle to a Northeastern Democrat by the name of Tip O'Neill. Together, these two men, and you don't see this in politics anymore, crafted a deal that lasted. It's the 1983 Social Security Act that lasts to this day. But they were able to put their differences aside for the American people. I'll put all the differences aside, bring these parties together, and tell them to shut up, and let's get a deal done. It's that simple. You can't play games. So that's what I say to you. We've got to come together as a community before anything ever works. Thank you. I ask for your vote. You can go to my website, joe4mayor.com. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Yates.
Good going, Joe. I'm not going to mention Ronald Reagan. You know, I've defined the mayor's job as more than anything else. When a citizen or a business person hits the bureaucratic brick wall, where do they call? Where do they turn? They turn to the mayor. And that's not to slight the council, because council members get calls all the time, too, and solve problems. So that's a fact. But that's what I do. That's what I do on a daily basis. Mayor, the cops just pulled me over, and I'm mad as hell, and I've got to pay a $250 ticket, you know, and then I'm a validator. You know, darn right, I'd be angry too. Of course you're upset. I mean, I have to tell you, that's half my job, and it's a pleasure to do it. It's a pleasure to interact with my citizens on a daily basis, my citizens, my fellow citizens. I love doing the job. You've been watching me do it on and off for 20 years. In response to Joe and the JPA, I missed a JPA meeting. You know, I've been 7.5 years as mayor over the last 20. You can count on one hand the meetings that I've missed out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meetings. I think three of those I was in Washington, D.C. So I'm a show-up mayor. I'm there. I'm there for you. I'm there for this community. This is all about loving Morro Bay, nothing else. And I love serving, and I love you guys, and I think we're all neighbors in this faction, and progressive and pro-business. It's baloney. We all live here together. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
I'd like to thank AGP, too. Thank you.
Bravo, AGP.
We're going to take 5 minutes and switch over to the council candidates, and then we'll begin. There are question cards on your table. If you have any questions, we'll collect them.
For your introduction, you have 2 minutes. We'll start with Mr. Smuckler.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. This is exciting to see as many faces as there are because, of course, Morro Bay elections have been known for having a strong turnout and involvement. I think this is proof of that. And I think it's one of the things that excites me about being a representative of Morro Bay. We always have a spicy debate at our council meetings, particularly on issues of land use and so on. Personally, I've been a really hard worker to make sure that I'm listening to all sides of that conversation as I make my decisions. It's been something I've strove to do, to reach out to the different people that have a stake in the decisions that are coming before us. I've worked hard to be accessible and return calls. As we've gone into the last couple of years, obviously everyone's had to adapt and shift how they've managed their business and their personal lives because of the economy and different changes that we've faced as a society. And I'm proud to say that I've helped the city also start to adapt and make sure that we're responsive to those same challenges and stepping up to recognize that we need to be able to look forward into the future and try to have a good plan about where we're going to go. Personally, I'm a partner with my wife in a landscape contracting business. I had to actually adapt during my time on the council because I had a catering business as well, and juggling all three with the council duties, the landscaping duties, and the catering was something that wasn't possible, and I was actually diminishing our ability to serve as a city council member and also with our landscaping business. So I recognize that we've all had to make changes, and I think we need to continue to do that. And if we are working together and respecting each other, I think with our assets of a beautiful environment, a community that's based on mostly owner-operated businesses, we can succeed.
Okay. Ms. Olu?
Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I want you to know that my interest in serving on the City Council reflects a simple belief. Good people can make good things happen. If elected, I'll use my tireless energy, my love of Morro Bay, my strong work ethic, and my sense of community spirit to help to join this community together and move it forward. I believe that we should have a community-oriented, solutions-driven city government, and I would work to make that happen. Some of you know me, and some of you do not, so I would like to let you know about myself. I have loved living in this community for the past 14 years with my husband, John, and our four sons. I've raised them through our local community schools and have been heavily involved there. My community service experience is extensive. I have served you on your Recreation and Parks Commission, where I was a board member and elected chair by my peers. I have also served you for the past 3 years on the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District, where my peers elected me chair 3 times. In addition, I have been your PTA president for 2 years and currently sit on the executive board as their historian. And finally, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my professional self. I'm a business owner here in Morro Bay. I've been a successful business owner for 14 years. I have been committed to our local economy, keeping it strong, and have moved it forward. In addition to that, prior to that, I was an executive human resource director for privately held and publicly held hotel corporations. I've spent my entire career in the hospitality industry, and I believe in a culture of service and believe that we can have a culture of service within our city government. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to answering questions from you today.
Okay, Mr. Hayes.
Is this fine? Thank you, and thank you all for coming here. When I look around the room, I see a number of people that I've seen in a lot of different circumstances. I actually have worked for the city for 31 years, 12 in streets, 12 at the wastewater plant, and 7 in the wastewater collections department. So I have served you for a number of years, and I have met a lot of you in those circumstances. I have been here for 31 years. My family's been raised here. I, too, have been heavily invested in Del Mar and Los Osos Middle and the high school as well. I volunteered. I've taught a good number of your children how to play baseball and t-ball. I have volunteered for a lot of stuff. I'm an Army veteran. I've gone to college here. And I really am the candidate who is here to keep your sewer and water bills as low as possible and to care for the environment as much as possible. I intend to always be mindful of our budget and to look for...
Know me.
about my ability to lead people, build teams, and accomplish goals. Working as a team, my neighbors and I won a contest that resulted in an unprecedented 8-page feature for Morro Bay in Sunset Magazine and was sent to over 1.25 million households. This marketing was free to the city. We did it for fun. Or maybe you simply know me as a good customer who supports local business. I will put community first in all decisions I make. My family has no business investments in Morro Bay, not even a rental property. We do own our home. If elected, I will work to create a 5-year strategic plan, a vision with measurable goals and objectives that can move Morro Bay forward. I will work cooperatively for a vibrant and resident-focused downtown, economic development to create jobs, and a focused tourism effort. And despite the rumors, I am not running to move the wastewater treatment plant. I will work for resolution to get a permit for the best plant at the best price for the long term, based on facts, not emotion. I have diverse work experience, not in one single industry. I have lived all over the world and witnessed firsthand vibrant cities and failing cities. What's the difference? Having a plan and follow through. I look forward to your questions.
Thank you. All right, we'll start with this question. Some TBID members and other hoteliers have talked about dissolving their board. If they disband, what are your plans for marketing Morro Bay to the outside world? How do you see developing and promoting a shop local campaign and continuing with in-county and tri-county promotions for Morro Bay? So even if they don't disband, I think the second part of that question is certainly valuable. And we'll start with Mr. Smuckler.
Yeah, thank you. I have the TBID is the assessment district that the hotels have put together to bring in more promotions money into the community, and I have been a strong supporter of their efforts since the development of the TBID. I continue to support them. I have heard rumors that some of the hotels are not satisfied with how the TBID has been managing those funds, but there is a process for them to protest that, and I would listen to the hoteliers if the majority were to say we need to dissolve this. At this point, though, I'm sensing that the majority are in favor of moving forward, and I've been supportive of them in developing the nonprofit that would then carry forward and likely hire a new director to manage our tourism promotions, and I think that's important. I've also been a champion of bringing forward a concept of a TOT reinvestment ordinance that would also help the hotels reinvest the TOT percentage back into their hotel to improve their hotel service and product. And I think that would be an important thing to help them leverage their dollars and be able to improve their product. So I will continue to do that, and I'm excited also. Oh, sorry, Kathy.
Ms. Solu.
Thank you for asking the question. I was on the group, what's called a think tank, that originally put together the Morro Bay T-Bid here. It's a group of 35 hoteliers now. We assess ourselves 3% of our gross sales, collect that money, and put it into a pot to market the destination of Morro Bay. All of our meetings and records are public, and it's a symbiotic relationship working with our city and our city staff. We have done great things. We are the one we are the one board that is tasked with driving our economy. We have done that. We see increases in 5% increases in TOT collection, which is good for you, our citizens. I would support a shop local campaign. I suggested during our public workshops that we have a series of public service announcements created featuring residents and our city staff showing other residents the importance of shopping local, and those should be aired on AGP. Thank you.
Mr. Hayes.
I'm not very familiar with a lot of the TBID stuff, and I would really hope that they stay together. That being said, to advertise the town, my preference would be to make a magazine and discuss what is locally available. And one place that I think we've missed the boat is with SLOSA on the way to San Luis Obispo. They have international competitions 3 or 4 times a year, and I think there's never been anybody advertised there, and I think you're missing a big market. And that's
okay. Ms. Johnson?
Thank you. Just one more time on the entire question, please.
Okay. Question was, some TBID members and other hoteliers have talked about dissolving their board if they disband. What are your plans for marketing Morro Bay to the outside world, and how do you see developing and promoting a shop local?
Are underutilizing the markets we've got in Paso and SLO. Let's bring them to Morro Bay. Thanks.
Okay. We'll start with this one with Ms. Solu. This is a two-part question. If elected, will you vote to move the new wastewater treatment plant to a new location? And part two, please explain the reasons for your answer.
Thank you. We have put several years of work into the wastewater treatment plant on the site that's jointly owned on Atascadero Road. I would not vote to move the plant from the current location, simply because for every dollar more, for every $1 million more that would cost to move that plant, that cost gets passed directly on to you in this community, to every person who has a sewer, every person who flushes a toilet. That cost would be passed directly on to you. Moving the plant to a new location on proposed land that we don't own is an X factor. It's estimated to cost 50% higher for the first proposed site and 75% higher for the second proposed site, on top of the estimated $62 million to build and operate the new plant over 30 years. The question is up to you whether you want that moved or not, and I believe in hearing from the multitude of you that you do not. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hayes.
I absolutely do not want to move the plant. I think it's an absolutely bad plan. Everything that's been built in Morro Bay since 1928 is aimed at that plant. Gravity is a prime mover with the sewage, and it has yet to be improved on. It has no moving parts, nothing wears out, and if you start introducing pumps and moving sewage to somewhere else, you are inviting problems. It is the cheapest and most environmentally friendly place to build. I absolutely would not move it.
Okay. Ms. Johnson?
Thank you. When you read the documents that the Coastal Commission has submitted in response to the wastewater treatment plant, rebuild, upgrade, your choice of words, it makes me concerned, nervous, produces anxiety, because I'm not sure Morro Bay at this point will have that choice to make. The Coastal Commission is ultimately, at this point, calling the shots. We need to work with the Coastal Commission to get a permit. That's number one. Number two is work for resolution. The third thing is to work to keep our community together. It's not about where the plant is. It's about how long we fight about where the plant is. Resolution, permit. Thanks.
Mr. Smuckler.
Yeah, thank you. I would agree that this decision has really been taken out of the hands of our city council and the Cayucas community, because the Coastal Commission is going to be issuing this permit. And we've submitted the plan for the coastal site to the Coastal Commission. So at this point, we're waiting their response. And I think it's very clear from their communications to us in letters and also in personal visits by their staff that they are very concerned about the coastal site. They're also interested in us evaluating a water recycling or reclamation component. So what I've been advocating for is not that we move the plant, but we are prepared with a backup option in the case that the Coastal Commission is not willing to permit the existing site. And I think that's extremely important so that we don't get drugged down into a situation like Los Osos.
All right. We'll start this one with Mr. Hayes. In what ways do you feel the city government can be more business-friendly?
I agree with Mary Yates. We need to improve the efficiency of the planning department. We need to make the licensing easier. Everything has to be simplified for the businesses. If you make it too complex, they will simply go somewhere else. And it's already tough enough to open a business. A startup business doesn't have a very good success rate. We need to improve that. We need to make it easier for them.
Okay, Ms. Johnson?
how do we make it more business friendly? Number one, support of a diverse economic development plan that makes it possible to support the businesses that are here, as well as looking to recruit new businesses to bring into the city. Talk to merchants. Some of them have a great time moving through the system, and some of them have a terrible time moving through the system. A lot of it depends on them as well, so I think we need to take every example for what it is, help find out what went wrong in the process. I really believe that our staff in the city want to help people open businesses. They don't want to be criticized for not being business friendly. So what I say to that is, let's look to become more business friendly overall to the businesses we have here. Let's focus on how do we do that economic development wise. What kind of support do they need? Marketing workshops, how can we bring that to them?
For our community that attracts new businesses.
Okay, Ms. Ella.
Thank you. A business-friendly climate is, it's interesting. I think government sometimes is self-defeating. In one sentence, it says that it wants economic development, and in the next sentence, there's a regulation that's passed that defeats the purpose of the sentence before. I think that we have to be careful that we support our businesses by helping them to move through the process of developing and starting their businesses without additional rules and regulations, and definitely streamlining the process. We cannot be self-defeating and expect our city services to be there when we need them. In addition, I think that creating a strong local economy is getting the citizens' awareness that there's many services here available in our owner-operated businesses that you don't need to travel to Paso or San Luis Obispo to receive. And I would go back to the point where I believe we should have public service announcements that appear on our local access channel.
Okay. Next question. We're all hoping for a united Morro Bay. How would you accomplish this? And we'll start with Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. Number one, I'm very encouraged to see that there is motion in the business community, things that they said would never be possible, that the Merchants Association would never sit down with the Chamber of Commerce. Not only have they sat down to have coffee, they've had a big mixer together at La Serena Inn. So I think that's absolutely positive. The council members need to jump on that and continue to make sure that happens. Let's pull in, for example, the North Morro Bay merchants. Let's go up and down Quintana and see who's there. Let's make sure everyone's at the table for this kind of business unity, and then go from there. So that's one big example I see as pulling the community together. Obviously, neighborhood character. We really experienced an incredible community building experience in North Morro Bay and the Beach Track neighborhood. So reaching out, maybe having a block party weekend. Get to know your neighbors. It builds your sense of community. It builds your sense of security and safety. And it's really fun.
Mr. Smuckler.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely think this is a challenge for us. I've noticed over my time on the council that we have been inconsistent with how we've applied the rules to different parts of town, whether it's neighborhoods or to businesses themselves. An example of that is with the sign ordinance. We had a good idea of needing to address a problem of proliferation of A-frame signs, but instead of going through a process of improving a poor rule, a regulation, we did a blanket regulation enforcement across the town. And what it did was it took businesses that were in a state of challenge with an off-season and with a poor economy and really took away a tool from them, but mostly we just did it without even consulting them. And during that time I advocated, let's open up this process, let's invite them in, let's develop a new regulation, a new sign ordinance that recognizes the different districts and their different needs, and lead that way instead of leading with the hammer. And I think that if we use that sort of philosophy as we approach all issues, we'll be receiving better success and bringing people together.
thank you. I believe that we have too many groups competing against each other to achieve the same goal. It's a problem of our own making. We see ourselves, and I've heard even in this election, as the Embarcadero group, the downtown group, the Cloisters group, the Beach Trek group, the Heights, the merchants, the business people versus the residents. We see ourselves as the sum of our divisions, and we do not see ourselves as the glue that binds us together and brought us here.
I believe that you can get five people from significantly diverse backgrounds together in a room, and they can do good things if they come to the same conclusion. And that conclusion is that we want to succeed. It's simple. Sometimes complex problems deserve a simple answer. Bring us to the table and let's decide to succeed.
Okay, Mr. Hayes.
I agree with Mrs. Solo, but you know, simplicity is genius, and that's where we should be going. We have a town with people from the far left and the far right. We have people driving Cadillacs. We have people driving old rusty Volkswagens with flowers on the side. One thing that needs to be done is everybody needs to hear everybody else's sentences. Communication isn't all talking. Half of it's listening. And there is no excuse for bad manners. So you can listen to your neighbors without getting angry at them. It's totally possible. That's where I would start. I would try that.
All right. Next question. Since we have three of you that would be new to this, what will you bring to the city that the other candidates
think about the environment, the economy, and also the social component, the neighborhoods? And in doing so, I think I've been able to temper my personal ideals, which is a very important part of being a representative.
All right. Ms. Olu?
Thank you. So I would be new. I would bring to the table the spirit of communication and openness and listening to all aspects. I think we need to remember that as residents, a lot of the business owners here are residents too. So in addition to paying the same taxes that a resident pays, they pay additional taxes and fees on their business. And that doesn't mean that their voice should be listened to more powerfully than your voice as a resident. That just means that they bring some additional comments and a different perspective to the table. I would bring the idea that your government serves you. There should be a culture of service within our own government, the way your city council serves you and the way you interact with your employees at the city level. Simply asking our city employees to answer the telephone, "Good morning, this is Jane Candu, how may I help you?" would change the way that we all interact with our city government. I would like to see the culture of service begin with the council.
Okay. Mr. Hayes?
I bring a pretty intimate knowledge of the infrastructure of Morro Bay to the table. I know what we own, and I know where it's at, and I know how it works. I also bring an element of serving. Serving Morro Bay is what I've been doing. And I agree with Mrs. Solu. We do need to have service. We do need to have people who are courteous. Unfortunately, courtesy is not something that's trained in. It's there or it isn't. And we really need to be courteous with each other and start there. To work together then becomes a lot easier, and to find a goal then becomes easier. In this room, every single person here has a vision of what the city should be like, and half of them are afraid to say what it is. And you need to be able to communicate. That would be a great start.
Okay. Thank
you.
Thank you. What would I bring that's different? I've lived in 8 cities and 4 different countries, so I have a wide range of experiences, and I've seen places work really well, and I could bring that experience and say, hey, that was a great place. Let's see what we can do about that. I also am a trained leader. I worked on staff at the Girl Scout Council. It's the largest national volunteer organization for women and girls. I've been to their national training center twice. I actually was a trained volunteer with the Junior League, if anybody knows that old-fashioned organization. And I was applied to and was accepted into the Leadership Slow program, which is run by the Chamber of Commerce in San Luis Obispo. I had a 9-month training program on all issues in our community. So I would maybe get Morro Bay out of the bubble a little bit and expand our reach into the regional world of slow county and maybe even beyond.
Okay, last question. How would you address the homeless problem in Morro Bay? And this one, we start with Joan.
Thank you. I like this question, actually. I heard some oohs in the room, but I actually like this question. When I worked and lived in Bakersfield, California for 18 months. And, you know, when you're in the hospitality industry, you move around a lot. It's quite like being in the Army. So I did spend 18 months with our back fence neighbors in Bakersfield. And when I was there, I instituted a program into the hotel corporation that I worked for. What we did was connected people who did not have jobs with the jobs that were available within our community. We created a central hub where employers would go, they would post their job information, and then the workforce would come out and they would have one area where they could go to where people could interview. This is an economic development program that puts jobs right into our community and reduces the unemployment rate, thus reducing our homeless rate. This is action that we can do here easily that is not a high-cost or high-profile situation.
Okay. Mr. Hayes?
In the real world, it's really difficult to deal with the homeless issue, knowing that anybody could be homeless at any time. Mm-hmm. And I have to say volunteers, because I don't know that we can afford it with the general fund. I don't know specifically where to go with this. I'm a little at a loss. But I think volunteering and taking care of and recognizing that there is a problem, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Ms. Johnson?
Thank you. I think number one on this issue with homeless is just in general compassion, that there are real people out there, and we want to remember that when we discuss it. Secondly, we need to realize what can a town of 10,000 people do about a national problem, and really, what are the...
Recognize that we have some great local volunteer advocates and activists that are working with the homeless, that have relationships to help them. I would want to make sure that the city doesn't get in the way of that. But we also have to make sure we hold the line when it's crossed to protect public health and safety. And that's a very important place to make sure that we don't start to fall back on and cross over, because ultimately we have to protect ourselves and the environment to make sure that the situation doesn't go beyond what we can control. The other component is regional resources and so on are mostly treating the symptom. To treat the cause, we do need to, the economic development program can bring jobs, and affordable housing as we do developments is an important thing to keep in mind as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you for all your comments. And now we'll do the wrap-up. We'll start with Mr. Hayes.
I will be the first one then. So I feel that we can move forward. We don't need to do more studies. We don't need to do more talking and dancing around the subject. We can actually get right straight to a subject and deal with it. As a community, we can get together and do some of these things. I don't think endless discussions and no motion is going to help anything. I do think we need to move. And I would, my message is that I am the candidate who is here to keep your sewer and water bills as low as possible and care for your dollars and the environment. That's my mission here. And I'm done.
Ms. Johnson?
I, if elected to the City Council, will work to put the community first and to bring balance to the City Council. Some things I'm hoping to work on would be a long-term vision for Morro Bay's future, at least a five-year plan, resolution for our aging wastewater treatment plan, focus on facts, not emotion, creating jobs for Morro Bay through economic development to attract new industries and businesses not yet here, supporting business in all business districts, what's the right mix for economic success, preserving our unique neighborhood character, create construction jobs that maintain projects to maintain the extraordinary personality of our city. I look to connect Morro Bay's downtown to the Embarcadero. Restarting that discussion is something that really had community support almost across the board. I promise to listen to residents, to be approachable, and to communicate respectfully. I hope to improve our city streets. We have a pavement management plan. It's one of the number one things people say when I'm walking precincts is, what are you going to do about our streets? Let's look at the pavement management plan. Sometimes it's just a matter of communicating to people that there is a plan that was approved in 2011.
communicating when their street is going to be paved. Something we haven't mentioned yet, but it's looming right outside the window, planning ahead for the future of the Morro Bay power plant. Let's just start thinking about it. We're a small town. It's a big concern. Let's not stick our hands in the sand, our heads in the sand. Hopefully, I've told you a little more about myself today. If you have questions, my website is christine4morrobay.com. My phone number is 305-3759. Call me. I'll call you back. Thank you. I'd be honored to have your vote on June 5th.
And Mr. Smuggler.
Thank you. I have been a key part of adapting the city's management and operations to a new paradigm, which is a challenging economy and a shifting environmental situation as far as water supply and so on. I will continue to do that. Our city obviously needs repair. We have work to do. And long-range planning is something that needs to be a key part of that, a planning that invites the community in to help you have inputs in the process so that we can develop a plan that is responsive to your needs. I think the pavement management plan is a key example of that. The bicycle and pedestrian plan is another. With good planning, we can actually create the opportunity for efficient management of our dollars, which is a really key thing. We don't have the amount of money that we can afford waste. And it also helps us leverage grants and alternative funds, which more and more are becoming competitive throughout the community. So we need to make sure that we have a good plan to present that can receive funds. I've also been rolling my sleeves up as a volunteer. We have witnessed all sorts of challenges trying to fund general ongoing operations, such as with our trees and our urban forest. I've been a key member of our volunteer tree committee, which has taken professionals in our community that want to help and given them the opportunity to actually step up and play a role that is filling a need for our community. We didn't have the funding to work with our urban forest that we used to. So I've also rolled my sleeves up when everything from...
I think that it's in the best interest of the community that we continue to communicate like this. I've been asked many times when I've been out meeting and greeting you, why do you want to enter local politics? When I look inside myself to examine myself for that answer, all I can say is I really don't see this as politics. What I see this as is an extension of the community service that I have provided with love to this community over the past 14 years. Additionally, I've been asked, who are you running with? Let me answer that clearly by saying, I am running alone. By myself, for our community. My husband and boys can tell you that I do not like being beholden to anyone. You see, I feel that it's not my job to tell you who you should choose to put next to me. I believe that that's your job as a voter to choose who you want to see on that council. Once again, I believe that we can put five people up there from diverse backgrounds, and if we come together with the idea that we want to succeed, we will be able to change things and move them forward. And that dialogue needs to come from you as a voter. So you'll see my sign next to Noah's or Carla's or Bill Yates, or you might see it next to Christine or in Joe Yukich's parking lot. But all I can say to you is I am here for you to have an additional choice. I would appreciate, if you have any questions, you can contact me at 459-3274. You can see my website at solu4council.com. I would appreciate your vote on June 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, Joan. I didn't mean to cut you out.
Everybody for being here today, but especially I want to thank our candidates for their commitment and service to their community. Thank you all.
Please don't leave yet. We have a lot of people here. We do have announcements still, so if you could just stay quiet until we get the announcements done, and then we're finished.
This will be replayed tonight at slowscan.org. slowspan.org, and at 9:45. There'll be two more candidate forums. One will be May 1st. Thank you. Sorry about that.
May 1st at the Vets Hall. The AAUW will be sponsoring that. Then there will be another one on May 9th at the Vets Hall, and the Chamber will be sponsoring that one. Both of those are at 6 o'clock. So, again, thank you for being here. Thank you for behaving so well, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Nice job, everybody. Nice job, Joe. Nice job.